Huh, Lance isn't here. Well, better break out the Lancebot. Hey, Lancebot.
Greetings.
Hey, Lancebot, ready to host the show?
Installing updates.
Oh, okay. How long is that gonna take?
3 minutes.
That's not too-
15 hours.
Ugh, I guess I have some bugs to fix. Welcome to Comic Book Keepers, where we talk about comic book characters, their history, and their impact on our lives. I'm Chris, and in this issue, I'm talking about Bastion. Now, you heard right. This issue is going to be a little different in that Lance is not here. He is actually doing some other things. He's busy with personal life, and I said I would take the reins solo this time. So I know it's going to be a little different, and it might be a little shorter because we're just going to go through everything. But we both agreed that Bastion would be a great focus as he is the prime antagonist in X-Men 97, which is a great time to get into who is this guy? And there's a lot of people that don't know who he is. So I was able to delve into his comics history and origin, and we're going to share that with you today. So hopefully this will enlighten you and give you some more information on who this fascinating villain of the X-Men lore actually is. So let's jump right into it. Bastion is a supervillain appearing in Marvel Comics. The character was created by Scott Lobdell and Pascal Ferry. He is an anti-mutant master of the Sentinels, focused on the total eradication of mutants. He's a humanoid face to the Sentinel threat that has always plagued the X-Men for years. And time again, he's proven he's not to be underestimated. Recently, he's been revealed to be the mastermind behind the threats in the X-Men 97's animated first season. Bastion is now in the spotlight, but in the comics, he's been a dangerous threat for decades. As far as publication history, he made his first cameo appearance in the Shadows in X-Men 52 in May 1996, written by Mark Waid and art by Andy Kubert. His first full appearance was in the Uncanny X-Men 333 in June of 1996. He was the main antagonist in Operation Zero Tolerance, a great storyline which was a crossover event over several different X-Men comics in the 90s. He also appeared up in X-Force Angels and Demons and returned again as the main antagonist in X-Men Second Coming. Now, he's made other appearances here and there, but mostly in the X-Men comics and mostly as an antagonist to the X-Men teams. Bastion was born when the giant robotic Sentinel Mastermold, having absorbed the advanced Sentinel prototype Nimrod into its systems and fought the X-Men, who saw no other way to stop the virtual indestructible amalgam except to force it through the Siege Perilous. Now, the Siege Perilous is a pan-dimensional portal which subjects those who pass through it to the judgment of the universe's higher powers. The Siege Perilous was in an amulet that was around Psylocke's neck for some reason. That's another story. But during the battle, Rogue was ensnared by the Sentinel and told Dazzler to shoot it through the portal even though it meant sacrificing herself. So Dazzler did that and felt horrible for years, and Rogue basically went away for about 20 issues. So for about 2 years, there was no Rogue. And we talked about Rogue and the Rogue issue, so you should go back and listen to that. But the Siege Perilous basically mystically resets your life. For Rogue, that meant splitting off the part of her that was Carol Danvers, aka Captain Marvel, and turning her and Rogue into two separate beings. For Nimrod and Mastermold, that meant merging them into a human robotic hybrid. Bastion thought he was human, re-emerging from the portal as an amnesiac, and was taken in by a woman named Rose Gilberti. Living with Rose, she adopted him as a surrogate and gave him the name Sebastian Gilberti. He began to hear about America's mutant problem, and his mutant termination protocols were then reactivated. He left Rose and sought out an anti-mutant group, Friends of Humanity, led by Graydon Creed. By this point, he realized he was a human sentinel hybrid with a seemingly immortal existence, and using the anti-mutant sentiment across the world, formed Operation Zero Tolerance. A little bit more about the character. Names and aliases, besides Bastion, include Sebastian Gilberti, which is his adopted name, Nicholas Hunter, Master Mold, Arnold Rodriguez, Template, and the Oracle. His powers and abilities include a mystical fusion of Master Mold and Nimrod, as we've mentioned, the immunity to telepathic probes and mutant abilities, adaptation, technoforming, the ability to turn humans into prime sentinels, which is terrifying, command of other sentinels, energy manipulation, teleportation, chronokinesis, superhuman strength and durability, and good old flight. Affiliations include Operation Zero Tolerance, the Friends of Humanity, the Human Council, and because he was the leader of the Human Council, he was the secret leader of the Purifiers, the Sapien League, the Right, the Mutant Response Division, and Humanity's Last Stand. Supporting characters with Bastion include Rose Gilberti, William Stryker, Bolivar Trask, Donald Pierce, and several other despicable human villains. Antagonists include basically all the X-Men and most mutants, Cable, Hope Summers, and S.H.I.E.L.D., who, along with Iceman and Operation Zero Tolerance, eventually take him down. Now, this despicable villain took a lot of engineering and some major backstory hunting to put him together from two other villains that sort of left a dangling plot thread from a Chris Claremont story in the mid-80s and kind of came out of nowhere in the mid-90s. So props for that. If that was not planned, that was really cool that they kind of brought that back together. So let's find out who was responsible for this as we go
into the archives.
Scott Lobdell was born in New York in 1963, coincidentally the same year that the X-Men comic book would premiere. But he didn't actually read comics until he was 17, when he was lying in recovery after lung surgery. He went to college to study psychology and also wrote for the school paper, during which time he interviewed Marvel editor Al Milgrom. Soon after, Scott quit school to write. He submitted various stories to Marvel, but was rejected by various editors, including Tom DeFalco. When DeFalco later started editing Marvel Comics Presents, it required a lot of writers and artists because it was biweekly. He decided to give Lobdell a chance. Lobdell's first published work was the D story in issue 9 of Marvel Comics Presents in 1988. The story was called A Piece of Cake and was illustrated by Larry Alexander and featured El Aguila, who shows up in the live-action version of the She-Hulk MCU series. From that obscure character, he gained a little bit more chance at Marvel, and in 1991, he began writing Excalibur, taking over for legendary Chris Claremont. He then took over Uncanny X-Men in 92, again succeeding Claremont. He would write Uncanny for 6 years, during which he wrote such classic storylines like Executioner Song, Fatal Attractions, The Phalanx Covenant, Age of Apocalypse, Onslaught, and, of course, Operation Zero Tolerance. Lobdell also created and wrote the first 28 issues of Generation X, had runs on Daredevil, The Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, and Alpha Flight, in which he wrote the issue where Northstar declared that he is gay. Lobdell created a ton of characters during this epic run in the 90s, as well as alternate universe versions of the X-Men during Age of Apocalypse. But some of the notable characters he's co-created during this time include Blink, M, Chamber, Skin, Cinch, Dr. Cecilia Reyes, Exodus, Graydon Creed, Marrow, Maggot, M-Plate, The Phalanx, Shard, Dark Beast, Executioner, Nemesis, and of course all of Generation X, which I just mentioned some of them. Lobdell would go on to have some work at DC, working on titles such as Young Justice and Red Hood and the Outlaws during the New 52. I'm not going to go too much into his future because we might come back to Lobdell in a future issue. But let's move on to our artist, Pascal Ferry. Pascal Fernandez Arroyo is known by the pen name Pascal Ferry. Born in Barcelona, Spain, he was interested in comics from an early age, following French artists, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, Mezieres and Mobius. He visited the Marvel Comics offices, where he became really interested in superhero comics. And who wouldn't be if you visited the Marvel Comics office? By the way, I was in New York and tried to visit the Marvel Comics office, but they don't do tours anymore. That's not a thing. It's not a common thing. I think you have to be on the in crowd to do that. If anybody knows how to do that, let us know. That's on my bucket list. So while he was in Spain, Ferry worked for Albert Ruiz Animation Studio, gaining some essential skills. In 1993, he created the character Plasmer for a 4-issue miniseries for Marvel UK. Now, Marvel UK didn't last, it went under, but then he moved to Marvel Comics in 1995. He provided a fill-in for several Uncanny X-Men issues. Now, during this time, that's when he co-created Bastion with Scott Lobdell. And you can find the original Bastion sketch on his Twitter, which is at Pascal Ferry. It's very cool. It looks like Bastion with short hair. Normally, this is where we would stop, but since I'm not sure when we'll cover Ferry again, let's just mention a few more books that he worked on since 95. Pascal went on to work on Warlock, Heroes for Hire, Superboy, Action Comics, and Adam Strange. In 2005, he worked with Grant Morrison on a Mr. Miracle limited series as part of the Seven Soldiers meta series. In 2006, he became the regular artist on Ultimate Fantastic Four with writer Mike Carey, followed by Thor in 2010 with writer Matt Fraction. Most recently, in 2023, he launched a new Doctor Strange ongoing series with writer Jed McKay. So you can still see some amazing work by Pascal Ferry, and it's cool that he created Bastion so early on in his career, and now he's kind of seeing this character come back in a cool retrospective show like X-Men 97. So that must be pretty cool. And his work is legit, y'all. It's really good artwork. Okay, moving on to the pull list. So I'm going to keep this short. The essential run that you need to read for Bastion is basically all of Operation Zero Tolerance. He is the main antagonist. That's where he first shows up. He is terrifying. It's also where you see the kind of inception of this idea of the Prime Sentinels, where he can infect sleeper agents, humans, as Sentinels. We've seen that in the cartoon, and if you want to see the first version of it, it's all there. So it's a great storyline. It has, you know, a lot of the X-Men characters that you think are going to be major players get captured. So it's very like, uh-oh, what's going to happen? It's also where we first meet Mero and Cecilia Reyes, and Iceman kind of comes out of semi-retirement to basically save the day. So it's a really cool highlight for some of these characters that are kind of B players and really step up. So that was really neat to have Iceman as like a main character. We got to do an Iceman issue. Make a note. All right. So check out Operation Zero Tolerance. It is in the 1991 X-Men volume with issues 65 through 69. You can also find Bastion in a major antagonist role in Second Coming. Now, there's a couple of storylines that happened before that. Messiah Complex, where they introduce Hope Summers as a baby, and then Cable takes Hope into the future, and then when Hope comes back as a teenager with Cable, that's Second Coming. And basically, Bastion gets all of these human mutant-hating organizations that we mentioned earlier, like William Stryker and Cameron Hodge and all of those guys, Trask, and basically says, hey, I'm going to be in charge of all of you, and I'm going to give you new abilities and kind of use all of your teams to hunt down this mutant messiah. We have to kill her. And it's a pretty good storyline, but I think Operation Zero Tolerance is the way to go if you want to find out more about Bastion. So definitely hunt that down. As far as Grail issues, I actually do have one this time. I have a copy of X-Force number one. Now, this is, I think, volume 3 of X-Force, and it's the first issue of it. It's the Angels and Demons storyline, which basically Bastion is the main villain of as well. He's there to try to hunt down this baby. Like, he's trying to kill Hope Summers as a baby, and X-Force is this sort of wet work team with the gray and black costumes, Wolverine and X-23 and Warpath, and they're all wearing, like, you know, killer assassin. He's like the black ops team that Cyclops is like, go and stop this. No one can know about it. You know, you guys are not on the books, kind of thing. So anyway, the second printing of this issue was a cover that has Bastion on it, and it's a really cool cover. It's Bastion with all these like tubes and wires sticking out of them, and it's by Clayton Crane, but it's the second printing of the comic, and it's a very cool painting of Bastion. So that's the one I have that I'm proud of. It's not worth much, but it's just kind of cool looking. It shows him in all of his ominous, creepy glory. Moving on to adaptations, of course, we have to mention the X-Men 97 version of Bastion, voiced by White Lotus star Theo James, which he does an absolutely great job making this creepy, husky-voiced villain that you don't really know who it is, and then you kind of, like, some of us realize, like, oh my gosh, it's Bastion. And I realized it was Bastion, but then I realized, oh, that's what they're going to do. You know, I think for people that had read Operation Zero Tolerance, we had that kind of second take, like, oh, that's, they're doing this kind of like big Sentinel Endgame kind of thing. So yeah, great casting. And it's nice to have a new villain in X-Men animation, because I don't think we had seen Bastion in any form other than in video games. So Bastion does appear in video games. He appears in one of Lance and my favorite iterations of the character, which is X-Men Legends 2: Rise of Apocalypse. A great game, X-Men Legends and X-Men Legends 2. We love that one. So Bastion was in that as a boss, and also he's a boss in Marvel Avengers Alliance. Interesting to note, he has not shown up in a Lego adaptation yet, but I'm sure that's probably on the table. It's time to move on to our weirdest segment. What if? Each issue, we do what nerds do best. We share our fever dream concepts for the comics that we love. The whole idea that the Prime Sentinels are essentially sleeper agents from humans that Bastion can control is a terrifying idea. So for this issue, I thought, what if any villain could have some sort of sleeper agent ability unlock in a bunch of unsuspecting citizens and instantly have a fleet of minions to control however they wanted? Who would it be, and what ability would they have? So I wanted to move away from the X-Men a little bit and go a little more psychological. So I'm picking the Batman villain Ra's al Ghul, and his whole thing is he wants to destroy Gotham and rebuild it so it's remade in this greater city, you know, kind of living up to its full potential, but also ruled by the League of Shadows, because that's what the League of Shadows says. So Batman has always stopped him, and you know, he's tried to get Batman to join him, but Batman's always like, no, dude, I'm not going to do that. You're crazy. But what if Ra's had programmed members of Gotham, just ordinary citizens, young, old kids, with League of Shadows ninja abilities, somehow sort of unlocked all of that and, you know, trained them, but then, like, they're just kind of living their lives. And then all of a sudden they're all activated, and now normal citizens are now mindless assassins with one goal: hunt and kill Batman and his allies, getting him out of the way so that the League of Shadows can take over and rule Gotham. I think it would be a fun storyline. I think, you know, it's stuff like that's probably been done. I almost went with a Joker and like everyone has a bomb inside of him, but I'm pretty sure that's been done at some point. But I went with Ra's al Ghul because I think it would be interesting to have like all these ordinary Gotham citizens and not just criminals, but like other people that thought they were safe and then they become criminals. You know, Batman's trying to stop the people that he's trying to actually protect. And that would provide an interesting quandary to the Caped Crusader and his Bat family. So let me know what you think. You know, what villain would you like to see have some sort of a sleeper agent protocol implied, and what would it be? And you know, who would he control? So let us know on our social media at CBKCast on Twitter and on Instagram. If you want to hear more of our amazing episodes, not just with me by myself, but also with Lance, feel free to join our Patreon. All of our patron subscribers get extra episodes every month. They also get to join our very cool message board, which has a lot of great people and other podcasters from the comics community, kind of just sharing cool things that they got in their comics collection. We talk about media stuff. We talk about, you know, upcoming conventions, and who knows, you might win something every once in a while. So our Patreon is available. It's patreon.com/comicbookkeepers. Feel free to check it out. And the links are in our show notes. So it's time to close the book on Bastion. So until next time, this is Chris reminding you to keep your friends close, but your comic books closer.